100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. The fan is on. The lights are up. The laundry is in the washer. And it's time for the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with the story. The topic this week is always, and we got a lot of stories on that topic. Good job, everyone. Great, now I'm sounding like Muncie doing Desert Bluffs. What the hell is in this coffee? Oh, wait, I know what it is. Oh, Bailey's. I need to go get another bottle soon. Problem is it's Sunday. It's the weekly challenge day, but the stores are closed. So, while I suffer delirium tremens, you guys can enjoy all the fun stories. Oh, and I'm on the treadmill, too. I think I lost a pound. And gained a pound. This shit's hard. Oh, well. Let's see. Who is first this week? It's John Musico. No, we're not going backwards again. Well, I could, if you want me to. No. So, John Musico, are you ready? Let's hear it.
Then but once, but now is always, by John Musico. Yogi, why is it that we try to recapture moments of our lives, but they have passed and we never can?
Young disciple, if only we could just stay in the present moment, that we can capture always.
But Yogi, why is this lamentable tendency so very common nonetheless? The old yogi replied,
safety is hardwired into our brains, the real you. However, that design betrays us. In constantly seeking danger yet to come, we are cheated of the now.
The young student muttered, I'll think back often on today's talk fondly. The yogi hit him with his cane.
Sound advice from John Musico. Thank you. We'll look back on all these stories fondly. And 440 weekly challenges. That's a lot of stories. Unless I got the numbers wrong. I sometimes do. I don't know. But I get updates. Next up is Jeffrey. He's got something up his sleeve. Shall we look up his... It's the... sound from the fan too high? Let me turn the fan up more. Oh, now you can hear the fan. The rushing of the wind against my body as I sweat on this treadmill. Oh, yeah. That's why I use the telephone effect in GarageBand. It helps cover it up, like the sad, sorry state of my health. So, let's see. Let's listen to Jeffrey and get some inspiration.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher. I'm here for week, 440 is in my notes, but that may or may not be the right number. Whatever the week number is, it's on the topic of always, and I've got two stories for you. The first is called Public Transit. Casey was a creature of habit. He always caught the same train in the morning, always standing in the same spot to get into the same car, and grab the same seat when possible. He knew to the minute how long the trip to the office would take, and was proud of the fact. That Tuesday, he entered the train and made a beeline for his usual seat, ignoring the warning signs. The unshaven man with several tattered shopping bags at his feet, wearing a t-shirt that disparaged the Republican candidate in the previous election. The man reeked like a garbage truck that had sat out in the sun. When the man started babbling about the international Zionist conspiracy and electronic bugging devices in his oatmeal, Casey made a lifestyle change. Standing up for the train ride was healthier than sitting. He didn't know about the health benefits of doing so one car over, but he was willing to take that chance. That first story was inspired by a recent trip to New York City, where I was on the subway and there were two very strange people playing some sort of video game on their phone and talking in conspiratorial tones. And the guy truly was wearing a t-shirt that was disparaging Mitt Romney. And just looking at that, what on earth is this t-shirt trying to say? And I finally realized that no, it was a pro-Obama, anti-Romney t-shirt. I thought, you know, I've got old political t-shirts. I don't wear them out in public. Anyway, my second story is called Traffic Flows. Ben fiddled with the radio as he sat in stop-and-go traffic, trying to find a station that was not playing a commercial. Interstate 95 always seemed crowded when Ben made the drive toward Richmond. Day, night, early, late, weekday, weekend, nothing seemed to matter. Where were these people going? In subsequent weeks, as Ben made the drive again and again, he noticed many of the same cars. Curious, while filling up at a Fredericksburg gas station, he asked the driver of a maroon Mustang that Ben saw repeatedly, "Why are you on the road so often?" "It's like this," the guy said. "I'm doing public service to stay out of jail." Ben was puzzled. How is driving on a crowded road doing public service? The driver shrugged. "Politicians don't want to build new roads. They want people on public transportation. If the highway's full of cars, they figure people will eventually give up on driving." I suspect that's behind some of the mentality of the people trying to get us onto public transportation. Anyway, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. You know, I did my time on public transportation. That's why I drive now. Although I would like some sort of electric vehicle, and screw the environment. We're done here. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Jeffrey. And by the way, I'm wearing my William Howard Taft straw hat, so I take umbrage to your accusation of people wearing political campaign clothing in... Oh, wait, I'm not in public. I'm in my home. Well, I will wear this William Howard Taft straw hat wherever the hell I damn please, you McKinley supporter. Right. So, what are you wearing right now? Oh, I said that wrong. What are you wearing right now? Leave it in the comments. No one ever does. Well, a few people do. But it feels like no one. It's so quiet in there. The last person to leave the comments, please turn off the lights. And be sure to take your William Howard Taft straw hats with you. You know, I should make those. That would be kind of cool. Although I've got a Millard Fillmore thing. So, and I do have Millard Fillmore campaign materials in my office at work. You know what else I have? I have Richard coming up next. Richard, who are you stumping for?
Good morning, everybody. Well, here we are again, Sunday morning, and you're spending your time listening to me. How did it come to this? This is George's story, part 72, Dr. George. Always have a plan. Advice that George, till now, had singularly failed following. Now would be a good time to put that right, and the plan that seemed most helpful happened to be one of the hospital displayed at the reception desk. He ruled out geriatric, pediatric, surgical and maternity before settling on trauma. It was close to the canteen, too, where he'd grabbed his carrots. Stealthily he made his way to the ward and began perusing the clipboards on each bed. "Jeffrey, how's your prostate?" he queried, reading from the first, before continuing his way carefully along the beds. Story number two is called OCD. Some might consider it OCD, but it's just plain common sense. If I always check every window is closed, check the gas, the bathroom and kitchen taps, and unplug electrical sockets every time I leave the house, that's just being sensible. and you can't be too careful with personal hygiene. Hand washing before, during, and after every meal is always advisable. And yes, I do it always, every time. It only takes a single omission to invite trouble. So why do I always count the paving stones on my way to work? Well, doesn't everyone do that? Here's my last one this week. It's called the A word. Always is an awfully long time. Longer even than till death do us part, or the time it takes to be served in my local bar. And it leaves no room for human error. Do you always look both ways before crossing the road? What, every time? Always fits into the same categories as forever and eternity. It's as constant as perfection and unerring. And that's why I have a problem with you using it. Because when I ask, do you love me? And you answer, always. There's no way you can be doing anything other than lying. And that's it for me. Speak to you all soon. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. And how's your prostate? I was going to ask everyone about that, but I think I've already done that. It's hard for me to remember week to week. I just babble these things off. I don't have a script. Just the unleashed id, I suppose. Isn't that what podcasting is all about? Speaking of podcasting, 10 years is coming up for just podcasting in general, not the early crap that Dave Weiner did, but real, serious podcasting. Although, how would you call Adam Curry that? There are still a few of us that remain from the long haul. Not that we ever rubbed elbows or whatever. Maybe that's how I broke my elbow. But are you still able to hear me? Should I be listening to these? Who cares, right? Well, anyway, The Slate, The Gist is a good one. There are still new good podcasts, although it's the big kids that are doing it now. Or maybe there were little kids starting off and then they got tapped for greater things. Me, I don't want greater things. Although, no insult intended to you people. We have a good thing going here, don't we? Don't we? Speaking of good things going, how about Tura? Let's listen to Tura, shall we? Let's distract ourselves from my uncomfortable comments. Might as well check my prostate, too.
Eli and I are getting married, the young woman announced. We'll always be together. Always is a long time, Liesl, her great-grandfather gently chided. With modern science, you might reach my age and have another century still. You can forget a lot in that time. Eli says we should never. He's right, he said. He took from his writing desk an ornamental wooden box. I want you to have this, he said. It's glued shut, so it won't be opened on a whim. But one day, long after I'm gone, you must open it. And one day, she did.
And in the box was Gwyneth Paltrow's head. Oh, sorry to give it away. Thank you, Tura. Just anytime I love that movie. I should watch that movie. I have it on DVD. And, you know, it's not one of those that you need to go, oh my God, I need it in Blu-ray. Oh my God, I need it in 4K. You know, my eyesight sucks anyway. Which is why I have this laptop at the maximum resolution. I'm an idiot. Thank you, Tura. Let's keep going here as I walk along the treadmill to my ultimate destination, which is the same place I am, only less fat. Lizzie, you heard my disaster on Saturday morning, or is it Saturday afternoon there? Or, I don't know, it's... What time zones are you people in? Prostate Standard Time. Okay, let's go with Lizzie. Hi, how you doing?
Never had Ronald felt so insulted. It was true that he dragged his feet in the morning and that he tried to cut short the workday by starting to get ready to leave the office half an hour before the end of the shift. However, he had never missed a day's work, never lost a paper or misfiled a document. "You're always stealing our donuts," was far more than he could handle. He even brought the coffee. Well, once or twice a month. The least the crew could do was to allow him to take a donut or three. And this was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodguff.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. Oh, wow. You know, I'm starting to hallucinate, which is a good thing. I think it's one of the benefits of this exercise and recording podcast and drugging my coffee and all that. This new thing called Ello, ELLO.co. I have no idea what it's for. I mean, I still don't understand Pinterest. Plurk is like, I don't know, it's like a social club. And then Twitter is Twitter. You just blather. I just blather everywhere. Twitter, I just port to Facebook. And then Google Plus, I don't know. Ooh, I watch this YouTube video. Ooh, I am Doctor Who fan. I'm a Doctor Who fan too. Plus one. Like, retweet, replurk, like, mute, block. Are we actually getting anything accomplished? I know I am. I'm doing this podcast, I'm getting laundry done, and I'm walking on a treadmill, and maybe I'll do the litter boxes later. Hold on. Oh, yeah, I'll do the litter boxes in a bit, and then I'll go grocery shopping. No plus ones or likes or any of that crap, but of course I will tweet about it. Right. How about we figure out who's coming next? It is Serendipity! Talk to us.
Always have a backup plan. You never know when you might need one. If you should see me in the street, always have an alternative route that you can take. Never meet with me unarmed. Always carry a weapon, just in case. And, should we ever meet alone, always have a trusted friend you can phone. Wherever we are, always know your escape routes. Prepare in advance. Leave nothing to chance. Always expect the unexpected. And no matter what, be certain that when our paths cross, you always have a backup plan. And pray that I don't have one too.
Thank you, Serendipity. Hey, you know what? It's Sunday. I got my backup plan. My backup plan? Walking on the treadmill, doing this podcast. Ooh, doing laundry at the same time. And I will do the litter boxes eventually and go to the grocery store. Hey, how's that? Although I probably won't go to Kroger. Is this an HEB kind of day? I know. I'm going to get a tub of blueberries and then not eat them, and they're going to be in the back of the fridge, and I'm going to be like, oh, blueberries, I used to love you. But I do need to get celery and carrots. Lots of them. Those are what's keeping me going. Empty, meaningless fiber without calories. I know carrots have calories, but they have, like, that orange stuff. And if I turn orange, you can call me John Boehner and elect me to Congress again. Oh, Ohio. Now that Jim Trafficant is dead. Oh, yes. Let's mock the dead. You corrupt son of a bitch. If only he had died sooner. That's the only tragedy. This parasite on the ass carbuncle of America. Oh, well. Let's have ourselves a 21-fart salute and keep going. Yes, I fart a lot while doing this. Yes, I'm walking, and I have 2 minutes. Ola oligosaccharides. We can make that a topic, you know. Oligosaccharide? No. I'm worried what Zach would do with it. Speaking of which, hey, here's Zach.
No, dear, I don't want any holiday vacation that involves a connecting flight at Heathrow. Almost every year, London is invaded by space aliens, usually around Christmas. I watched it on BBC, so it must be true, stated Zack. You know, Doctor Who is just a television show, and all those space invasions in London were made up, right? She said. Doctor Who not real? I don't question your religion. Faked invasions is what the governments want you to believe, replied Zack. Would you be serious? Honestly, it's hard for me to get vacation time during holidays.
Thank you, Zack Man. You know, Doctor Who is true. It is. And this Clara Oswald, oh, God. Ugh, just, when is she done? When does this doctor dude, like, stop questioning how bad of a person I am because I'm having self-doubt and confidence issues and the universe is awful and, man, this dude is like an existential nightmare. But he'll get better, I hope. Otherwise, he's going to wind up a Sylvester McCoy. Oh, anyway, who was the worst doctor, anyway? Sylvester? Seriously? The clown? Or Colin Baker, the... I'm sure they're all nice behind the set. Except for Colin Baker. Ooh, wait, music. See, I could really walk to this. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set... Okay, I can't sing. Right, oh, Lady Blue. She's come back. Oh, this is so good. And she's got 4 stories. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4. Nope, hold on to the rails. I know the rules. I don't lean on them. They're just there in case I get a little confused. And then there's the safety key that keeps me tied into this thing. Should have a harness and a helmet. And, oh, I do have a bike helmet. Okay, I'm going to go get the bike helmet. You listen to Lady Blue.
Keeping promises. The tumor on my back has grown so large that it hurts to even breathe, much less move a muscle. It feeds off my body, dissolving tissues and draining my blood until I've nothing left. Its weight, as it grows and grows, crushes my bones and leaves me a crippled husk. This is the cost of my promise. Years ago, when the tumor was broken and helpless, I gave way to pity, which became adoration. I promise that I will love and cherish you forever. I will never leave you. Always? Always. I'm a person who keeps my promises. What do you mean by always? Always means never, not ever, and heaven forbid if you don't. Always means not, and don't even consider the exceptions. Always means under no condition should one ever consider it possible, or impossible, or plausible, or inconceivable, or not. Always means do not, must not, cannot consider the alternatives. Always means don't hold your breath, forget it, and don't wish, want, or hope for it. Always means at no time, not in any way, not in the least, abso-freaking no, and by no means, and certainly nevermore. Quoth the raven when she said always. I said, well, I'll be damned. Citizen tenants to peaceful societies. Always do nothing, because change is scary. It's a foray into the unknown that can threaten and harm. Always be silent, because when no one knows what you think, it cannot be challenged. Always be normal, because being original makes you vulnerable to criticism. Always listen to others, because your own thoughts have no value or worth. Always be ignorant, because knowing means you must do something, and that violates rule number one. Always be controlled, because acting out on your own makes you a threat. Always resist change, because suffering is familiar. It is something we are used to doing. Rampant grass and agitated Setwins. Always cut the rampant grass whenever the sun goes legrit. Otherwise, it will agitate the Setwins into a Pernanian remorse, and you'll never get them back from the Kesrit again. At least, not without coloring them into a post-Gilius cage baited with harness that's been spiced with Frux and Honchlor. You could also use smashed bluepids, minced in Hweddled Pistensi, but I wouldn't suggest it. Bluepids are quite Sisyphus when they're not in season, and the whole process of smashing them without the proper protection can be quite dangerous. Wait, why don't we just get rid of the grass altogether?
Hold on, I'm making my grocery list here. Smushed, blue pids, and curmudgeon. Damn it, I'm going to have to listen to that again. Thank you, Lady Blue. Your ebullience is most cromulent? I'm not sure. I'm not good with big words. Big words are scary. They take up way too much noodles in the soup, or the alphabets in the cereal. I think they're made out of the same thing. Or not. I'm not sure. Anyway, thank you, Lady Blue, and welcome back. And keep coming back. All of you, keep coming back. Don't leave me here with these other crazy people. We're the sane ones. I've done that routine before, haven't I? That's the problem with an unbridled id. There's only so much to pull from. Although, I do need to get better settings. Maybe I could do this in Paris, or in a Starbucks, or on the moon. We're on the moon. No, we're not. But we are waiting for Tom to come up with some stories here. Oh, wait, he has. He always sends in the text early and then sends the sound file. And then I'm like, oh, yay! As opposed to like, oh, no, where is he? Oh, my God. I'm waiting and biting my nails. And it's my toenails, too, which is an accomplishment since I have such a large gut at this point. But I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Oh, the days when I used to bite my toenails. So free and fancy and... Okay, let's just go with Tom.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And I've got stories tonight. The first story is called The Call. Dad pulled the duffel bag higher on his shoulder. Jimmy, you be a good boy and listen to your mother. Timmy threw his arms around the sergeant's leg. Dad reached down and took his hand and handed him his cell. This is a direct line to wherever I go. Know that wherever that is, I will always be with you. Jimmy kept the cell phone always charged and never took it out of the house. Dad never came home. The army had no idea where he was. That is when Jimmy made the call. A distant voice answered, "Assalam alaikum." And the second story is called Making a Second Impression with Your First Impression. My life has straddled two diverse sectors of the economy, manufacturing and service. Prospering in either takes a keen understanding of what your prime asset must be. What has served me well is projecting the impression of being a problem solver. To successfully enforce this impression, one must take it right down to the granular level. Take this simple exchange. Thank you for putting out the fire with your left elbow. Pause. You reply, "You're welcome." And that moment drifts into unconscious memory. Bad. The next thing out of your mouth must be memorable, strong, and unexpected. Reply, "Always." Story 3. That's my girl. Always. Richard Dreyfuss, Holly Hunter, John Goodman, Hepburn. Playing a ghost, soon to be a ghost. A classic remake of A Guy Named Joe. a Dreyfus Spielberg vanity piece dismissed by the critics as dated. A little guy film like Death Takes a Holiday, Heaven Can Wait, or The Canterville Ghost. A redemption story. A film prior to the corporate military narratives. A remake of Always wouldn't be called Always. It would be called Desert Storm, set in the sands of Gulf War I, starring Seth Rogen, James Franco. Meryl Streep would play Hap and pray she didn't get Hepburned. And the fourth story, which would be the last one, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 69. Sparky and Ellison cried out, "Why have you forsaken us? Have we not always served you, O Duke?" "Sorry, Mrs. Parsons, I got to take this. Will you be okay?" "Go." "Look at me, you two." Sparky buried his head in a puddle. Elsin rose in angst. "Why have you sided with my tormentors? Free me, O Duke, so I may loot, kill, and spout lame dialogue. Yes, in your honor. You're leading us into an ambush." "Yes, Duke." "Don't suppose I could change your mind. Oh, God, you move in mysterious ways." "I'll take that as a no." And that's it.
"Thank you, Tom. If I try to move in mysterious ways, I'll wind up falling off of this thing and ramming into all the stuff behind me. Although I did clean some of that up and put it in the closet, which is a huge, huge mess. Don't go into the closet. Don't let a cat into the closet. You will never find the cat again." Oh, man. Been going for at least 35 minutes on this thing. A lot of stories to listen to and respond to. And then the laundry that interrupted the timer. So I had like 15 minutes on the first block, and then the laundry. It was at 12. Now I'm up to 21 minutes on this. Whew, wow. So let's keep going here. Let's not get into minutiae or business or details. Instead, let us continue with our lovely stroll through the prose. Let's see what Dionysus has for us. "Speak to us from up on high."
Hi, it's Dionysus Close with a story called Always. A thin, sickly-looking man leaned through the door into the darkness. There was only a couple of shadows at a back table. A grainy video was projecting on a sheet against one wall. The man sat at a table where he couldn't see it. In a bit, a woman came with a glass and sat down. "Looking for a party?" "Ain't got that much." "Smoke?" They smoked his cigarettes, chatting a while. "You ever fall in love with him?" he asked. "Always," she said. It was quiet except for a pretended orgasm. "How much you got?" she asked.
"I don't know, but I have a teaspoon here." "No, sorry. Thank you, Dionysus." See, I pronounced it right for once. Whew. Okay. No, I'm not going to make a mess on the treadmill, except for all my sweat. Right, this Elo thing, I still don't know what it's good for. I'm sure that they will add features and things and whatever, and it'll be all chatty Cathy. Some folks just have way too much time on their hands, like me. And so we're on all these networks at once, constantly striving for approval and attention. Maybe a little affection. Tickle me here. So how much have you got? Coming up next, Norval Joe. I think we're going to find out more about Fly Paperboy and what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to send the money and all that. I'm ready for it. I'd like a signed copy of my digital book, please. Find out what it is, and then actually tomorrow I'm reading at the Shawnee Library in Second Life If the fucking microphone and voice system works. Had some issues yesterday. Shh, don't give it away. And, but hopefully, let's just focus on Flypaper Boy. Let's find out. Is it ready? Tell us.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com and of Flypaper Boy, Coming of Age. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 440 with a prompt of Always. It was my big plan to get this story recorded last Sunday as soon as possible so that I could get it in early and all of you who quit before you get to my story and Planet Z's, you'd be able to hear of my news about Flypaper Boy Coming of Age, coming out tomorrow, September 29th, at Amazon.com. But since you're going to hang up the proverbial podcast before you even get there, I'm not going to tell you about it. It'll just be Lawrence's and my secret. It's coming out tomorrow, $2.99, Kindle price. That's all I ask. Stop by, buy it, put it away. No. Honestly, if you read it and write a review within 5 days, you will get 2 entries into my contest to win the Kindle Voyager. And if you take longer than that, you still have till October 31st to do a review and get 1 entry. If you're the first one to get an entry in, you'll get 5 entries. So keep that in mind. Also, well, more news to come as it happens. Here's my story. Garbage man shook off candy wrappers and plastic bottles. He shambled to Durgle and asked, "If you're supposed to be here, what's the password?" "The password?" Durgle mumbled, and his heart sank. He'd researched this organization. He knew their rituals and practices. He'd learned their password and memorized it. But just like always, when the pressure was on, his mind went blank. Garbage Man raised himself up, towering above Durgle. "If you can't tell me the password, you will die." "Wait," Durgle gasped. "I remember. It's... Jeffrey, how's your prostate?" Garbage Man exhaled a fetid breath and said, "Follow me." Thanks for listening. Come out tomorrow, yesterday, whenever it is that you're listening to this. Come out on the 29th, please, and help me out. Thanks. We'll see you next week.
And that, folks, is how to do a plug. Awesome. Thank you, Philip Norval Joe Carroll. Congratulations on the book. Hopefully people have lasted this long into the show, gotten past all my mumbling and some bumbling. I'm going to learn how to do the skip chapters with GarageBand eventually. I swear, I'll do it. Well, you know, football is on and no one cares about that crap. And back in the locker room, they do horrible things. And you know, the only women are on the sidelines. They're like the Hannah Storm sideline reporter. No one's up in the booth. Are any up in the booth yet actually contributing to the game? We're just, "Oh, I just talked to them and, you know, we got a recipe for this and that. Or I'll just go back home and do some knitting and pop out some baby." You know, it is horribly sexist. And I think it's wrong. And that with women's basketball, you have the 2 women in the booth. And we're women and we're proud and we're strong and it's women's basketball. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense. It's all gulagged. I want to hear, screw it. I want to hear Puppy Bowl. I want to see the Kitten Bowl. And I want those to have, I don't care who is in the booth. Everyone, a good wide sampling from all of humanity, even the crazy ones, maybe even someone from ISIS just shouting threats and beheading everyone else in the booth. A little variety, people. Oh, by the way, Flypaper Boy. So let's move on to Muncie. Muncie, do you have a book? Who else has a book here?
Hello, Desert Bluffs. From Muncie. wishing you fond tidings, and congratulating you on making it through a whole month of being desert bluffs without turning on each other like a pack of wild dogs and tearing one another to pieces. Who says we can't all just get along, right? I know! And now, on to the story. On Motivation, by Christopher Monroe. Kids, I have something to tell you. You won't like it. I don't care. You've been told, mostly by parents, that if you apply yourself, you can accomplish anything. And I'm here to say, you can't. Parents have to lie sometimes, to keep you from harsh truths about the world. You'll accomplish many things, but anything? No. There are things that, however hard you try, you will fail at, and it'd be a good idea to prepare yourself for that. Because it's true of everyone, and the sooner you learn to be okay with it, the better off you'll be. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzyMunzy. That's it for me, Desert Bluffs, because I'm given to understand that angels, actual angels, have come down and told me to stop doing this shitty impersonation, lest Lawrence fly up to Calgary and straight murder me. And I don't doubt he would. He's crazy like that.
Okay, let's see. Does Southwest have any direct flights to Calgary? No. Ooh, United does. Oh, American does too. Oh, and it goes through Dallas. Let's see that. Well, Dallas isn't so bad. I just don't want to have too many bags. They always screw up there. And, oh, okay, I need a passport just to make sure that it's not a problem. All right, I've got that. And, oh, sorry. Oh, is this thing on? Oh, hi. Hi there. Thank you, Muncie. No, I'm straight up murdering? Is that a crime? I know that there's capital murder and aggravated murder, but I don't think that straight-up murder is an actual crime, unless it falls under murder. Oh, right. Thank God this stuff is over. I'm looking for... Good story, man. And, see, Broken Escalator? Have you folks listened to Broken Escalator? Do we need to do a topic of Broken Escalator? And that listening to all 97 episodes of Broken Escalator is what you have... Yes? Yeah, okay. Then the science is settled. Although we should probably listen to Chelsea now. Is the fan too loud? I really don't need the fan on full blast. Although, let's see, 32 minutes at 1 mile an hour. It probably doesn't really... Yeah, burn 50 calories. Yeah, what a joke. All right, well, let's move on to Chelsea and see how she's doing. Hi!
Always, by Chelsea. You cut into me. Always. You tear me down. Always. You take my breath. Always. You want more than I have to give. Always. You underestimate me. Always. You are walking on thin ice. Always. You are not ready for what's coming. Always. You are going to suffer. Always. I am stronger than you. Always. I am a force to be reckoned with. Always. I am biding my time. Always. I am waiting for the right moment to strike. Always. I will haunt your dreams. Always. You will fear me. Always. Always.
Thank you, Chelsea. It's fun to always be there. It's good. It's important. It is always. And now we move on to Danny and see how he's doing. Freddy is having a rough time of it, and I hope things are all right.
Ah! Now the recording is prepared, and hello, hello, Danny Dwyer is here with Weekly Challenge 440. You know, just like a classic early 1970s Dodge Challenger, or better yet, the Dodge Charger. Remember the 440? Ooh, hot engine. Great car as long as you're driving in a straight line. Otherwise, don't go around a curve at like 90 miles an hour. You're going to flip over, hit a tree, and kill yourself. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's a good thing. But quite frankly, anyway, here's this week's story that I have regarding this topic called Always. So here we go. Why am I always pissed off about nothing more than some fiction within my own mind? I screamed, suddenly realizing I was screaming at a blank wall, painfully aware of how vividly I was hallucinating that David Gregory was screaming on the top of his lungs before a Senate investigative committee. Both sides do it! The Senate was not moved and insisted that David Gregory be fired from NBC's Sunday morning show Meet the Press. The executives at NBC gleefully obliged, insisting Gregory was not conservative enough to compete with Fox News. So they hired Chuck Todd instead. Brilliant. And that's my entry for this week. And if you're pissed off about how I'm calling about, you know, calling out NBC's Meet the Press as being a corporate stooge and David Gregory being a hack that basically destroyed journalism, then you come to my page at dannydwyer.wordpress.com and tell me what a fucking asshole I am. And I will appreciate your comments and, you know, quite frankly, I'll probably ignore them. So have fun and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're all owned by corporations. Desert Bluffs. Haven't you been listening to Muncie? We're all a part of Desert Bluffs, and they own us. Strux Corp loves you. Really, I don't understand. Thank you, Danny. I turned the fan off for a little bit just to compare. Yes, I am going to compare sounds, and I would like your feedback on the sound quality when I have the fan on high, when I have it on low, and when I have it really low, and then when I have it off. What do you think? I should probably turn the fan off while I record. So, right. Oh my God, I've been on this thing for 43 minutes? That means the laundry must be coming due in a second. So, I'm going to go take care of the laundry. I didn't count the shirts this time. I suck. I have lists of a checklist of things to do in the morning, and it didn't have count the shirts. So I gotta update the list. Yeah, lists need to be updated. I kind of need routine because I'm kind of a scatterbrain. Oop, see? There, laundry. My boss got a new laundry machine, and she was talking about how it has an app and it can give you error codes and all that. You know what I think? The more complexity you add to a machine, the more error codes you get. Just keep the damn thing simple. And speaking of simple, how about some Planet Z? Z.
Intelligent switches and meters in the electrical grid allow utility companies to route electricity supply to handle peak demand. Thanks to high-capacity, low-latency neural networks bridging quadrillions of nanobots, the intelligence grid will route brain power and computing power to handle high demand. Brain cloud computing ran into initial resistance with protests against the intellectual 1% draining the masses for extra thinking power. But when scientists proved that people had plenty of extra brain capacity to spare. A fair rate structure was put in place. Besides, do you think the slack-jawed masses watching television will miss their stray thoughts all that much?
Of 100-word stories on the topic of always. That's how you pronounce it. Always. You can check out more stuff at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Comments, a link to Norval Joe Philip Carroll, his amazing book coming out on Amazon. You can check it out. You can write a review. You can get more chances to win a Kindle something. Fire, chasing rainbows, or whatever it's called. I don't know. If I win it, I'm not going to win it. I'm going to give it to someone. I'll let him choose. Okay, who came in second? So, there. Because I don't need a tablet. That's it. Leave comments. Leave everything behind. Join the cult. The next topic is brass. So, all the topics are listed up on the site that are coming up, so these should not be a surprise. If they are, you should have your memory checked. I'll see y'all tomorrow with another, I guess you could call it a story. Until then, thank you for listening and being a part of this, and as always, always, you see, there's the always. That's where the always came from, although somebody probably suggested it, but and always. Keep it brief.